A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
And welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. This is our women's football episode. This is basically the part two of our episode. But yeah, we'll tag all the link for the part one and all that jazz down there. But yeah, first of all, on my left, we have
Marva at Marva MSK.
And to my right,
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
I'm hosting today. And I'm Moya at Moya's Laboratory. and yeah, make sure to follow Gold Diggers UK underscore on Insta and Gold Diggers UK on Twitter. Let's get into it, guys. I think we should start on the main talking point that we had this week, which was the England versus USA game. I think we're all at the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's at the game. Sweet. Marva, thoughts on the game?
It was a great game, like the actual spectacle of it from the entertainment that Wembley put on. I've never seen a light show like that. I was pleasantly surprised. That was nice. I thought all the kind of promo bits they did, all the press bits, mm-hmm. like the bringing the trophy back, the 50-year anniversary bits, the picture obviously in solidarity with the US women's national team, like all of that stuff, mm-hmm. they just got on point. The game itself, I thought, was a very good like game for a neutral or and for both teams, maybe not so much for a USA supporter, but even for them, I think there was still a lot of positives that they could take away from that game. Mm-hmm. And just a high quality game, like very intense, as in high intensity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was at one point, I think almost all of you guys being like, this could be like 5-5. Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then it kind of calmed down a bit, second half. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was so much tactically to get into. There's so obviously some big key players were missing. But if that's an advert for the World Cup next year, then
exciting.
In fact, if that's an advert for the final of the World Cup next year, I'm very excited.
Speak it into existence.
Lauren, what were your thoughts on the game?
Do you know what? It was actually getting off the tube and then like walking down, and I was thinking, I'm going to watch England USA. Like, if someone would have told me 2019 after the semi final that before the next World Cup, it would be England versus the USA sold out at Wembley. England would win. We would see a game of that quality of
and
football.
And England would be European champions by the time.
Yeah. I would have just been like, be quiet. Like, no, I thought, do you know what? I think in the build up to the game, obviously all the injuries that were coming out, and then you're like, your bucket list players were not there. But I actually think the quality of the game was still really good. And I feel like Serena told them at halftime, this is too open. Because I think that the second half was a lot calmer, but I think it just showed. I mean, the fact that the US are flying to Europe now, mm-hmm. To come play and say, put some respect back on our name.
Right.
I think, you know, it's just what an advert, I think, for women's football. And I think to see everything come full circle with all the kind of players in the past coming out onto the pitch, getting mm-hmm. their flowers as well at halftime, it was just kind of, I just couldn't believe it. Like, I didn't think, even this time last year, like when we're watching yeah. England games and the crowd looks empty because they're only using one stand, like to be there at Wembley in that atmosphere, it's crazy. Like, the last 12, 18 months has just been wild.
And was there a player from the US team that stood out to you?
In all fairness, I think, I can't remember her name now. The winger who was
Sophia
absolute
Smith?
Yeah.
Peak.
I was like, and I think, yeah, to be fair, I think Millie Bright
tried,
I think did well, but I think it just showed that there's still another level, yeah, I think, to get to. She was just rapid. Every time the ball got picked up in the pocket, I was like, nah, she's gonna be off.
Yeah.
And it was stressful to watch. But yeah, I don't know. It was crazy. Even like watching Megan Rapinoe and everything that she's done for US football. And then I never thought I would see the woman look so exhausted in the first half because she's having to track back on Lucy Bronze. Like, it was just, most of the time, like, I was just sat there like, I can't believe this happening. Like, it's the first game in ages, I think, apart from the Euros, where I was actually fangirling. I was like, yeah, I can't believe I'm here.
Same, to be honest. You made a good point on Sophia Smith, to be honest. I think the fact that she's a versatile forward, because she was like, Team USA were pretty much interchanging that front three in terms of positions.
And number nine.
Yeah. Winger. And I think that's where England struggled with Sophia Smith, because normally the player that they have to deal with as centre backs wouldn't be someone of her skill set. It's normally someone with more like, typical,
and also if
like an Alex Morgan.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. So if you have someone like that, then at least you can put all your focus on her. But if you do that,
and then it's against that team
and then it's really on your side, you're struggling.
Yeah, exactly that. Because I was likening it to, you know, like when England met Spain in the Euros, mm-hmm, and then Del Castillo came on and was just absolutely murdering the fullback. Like, Rachel Dele had a torrid time in that game. Obviously,
Dele got hooked.
She got hooked, and rightfully so. But to be honest, yeah, anyone would have held it there. Whoever was playing fullback that day was going to get annihilated. But like, normally we associate a player like Sophia Smith with only being the problem of the wing of the fullback.
Yeah.
But because she was obviously playing nine, and then she was playing on the wing, and then she went back to nine, that wasn't the type of person that like Millie Bright would have been used to dealing with as a centre forward. How do you think she dealt with it?
Yeah, I think it was also the way that I think where England struggled with their decision making out of the bat.
Yeah.
And it was because of the press that USA inflicted.
The absence of Leah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does show you the fine margins of decision making out from the bat. Because I would say that like Greenwood has an excellent like long ball on her. Millie Bright too has a very good like crossfield ball, but it's the decision making of when to use that ball and when to pass out the back. And the first goal we conceded was because of bad decision making when it came to that.
Didn't read the situation.
Yeah. When I was watching it live, I thought, oh, Stanway, that's a really bad move. And then I watched it back and I was like, Bright shouldn't have
Yeah, she shouldn't have received that ball.
USA attacked with too much press.
The ram was already running towards Stanway when the ball was played into her.
Exactly. And then, and like you said, maybe they're not used to then dealing with the quality of someone like Smith, because not everyone who would have got that would have then converted that. But the moment she got it, I was like, that's in.
She said,
I was like, that's in.
Out,
I could
bang.
I could see it from a mile away. So it shows you, but I'm glad that we had that, because I think going into the World Cup, those are the levels.
Yeah.
Because it's not just USA either. Like Australia, for example,
Brazil,
Canada, even to an extent. These are teams that are going to have a level of quality across that front three and across that front five, even.
And teams which compress for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
it's not just, it's okay, we'll wait 70 minutes and they're tired,
mm-hmm,
and then we'll continue to play. Like, the intent, like, that, I think that's what shocked me as well, the intensity of the game.
Yeah. Both didn't want to lose, you can tell. Yeah. It wasn't like a regular friendly.
It wasn't just a friendly, which was it was great to see.
The tackles were flying in. It was a great game.
That's the kind of game as well that USA will get themselves up for, because they're thinking, too much talk on our name about not being good.
Like, exactly.
That's sort of too much, you're chatting too much right now. There's too much hype for everyone else. Let us show you who we are, sort of thing.
Yeah.
What did you think of Rose DeVoe?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Technical levels.
So good.
But that's what and that's why I know I tweeted saying like, we're going to win the lot, but I don't necessarily think we are, because I think, honestly, when I was watching them play, mm-hmm, I thought they have so many more gears to go into.
Yeah.
And then
you had
technical,
Sam Lewis into that midfield again as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's even like Tobin Heath, like
exactly. Like half the team was missing.
Their technical ability on the ball And to be fair, like England kept up to a good extent, yeah. but that was us really pushing levels, mm-hmm. and USA didn't look like they really pushed level, yeah. even to an extent of, I thought we were very well organised, and that's credit to Serena, obviously, and the team that we've become, mm-hmm. but just the class they had on the ball, the like strength they had on the ball.
They can see passes that don't even look like the passes.
Exactly. Yeah. That, I feel like if that team is in full swing, that's it's still a very problem. Dangerous team.
Yeah.
However, like this is to even be in contention, whereas in that semi-final, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
The gap, I know it was only 2-1, but it was not a 2-1 game. That was the gap was huge. And now we can see the gap closing and it's a game that we can win. Mm-hmm. I think USA are still a technically better team, but if we were to get them in a World Cup, we could beat them.
It's about efficiency. I think what they've realised after this Euros is it's about taking your chances and limiting opposition chances. Yeah. Like, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Marva. I think it's the first time where I thought, do you know what? We're actually one of the favourites going into the tournament. I'm not saying the favourite, mm-hmm. but... definitely, if we get it right, it's just there aren't that many countries, I think, within the tournament that will just brush us aside. And I think that's encouraging because now it's about what happens in the game, who's going to win the 50-50s, mm-hmm. maybe fitness availability will come into it. But I think it's the first time, I think, going into a World Cup where you think, we're not playing for bronze. You know, we're playing for the trophy. So it was just encouraging to see. I would like a rematch though with full strength sides because
World Cup final.
I'm not gonna lie, yet. Who's really trying to catch USA in the World Cup final? Because you see, when you give people like something to taste it before you, muscle memory starts to kick in. Yeah?
Exactly.
USA, yeah, but we thought that about Germany.
Yeah, it's true. But USA in a final, yeah, with the amount of like England could dominate. USA in a World Cup final, yeah, and still lose. It's not they won't even be looking to dominate. They'll just be looking to be street smart. One thing I realized in that game is they're so street smart. Like,
they know
when to tug on you when the referee's not looking. They know when to. All right, you're gonna give me a bit of contact. I'm going over.
Yeah, like Lindsay Horan. She's so strong, but she can always position her body to take the foul, even if she lost the ball. Yeah. Like it's just these, but they're winners and they're brought up as winners, and they also have the amount of medals. Like it's not going to phase them.
Yeah,
They will not phase playing at Wembley. They will not be phased playing, even if it is England USA in the final. And I think we've had the Euros, but I think. You can see now that there's still another level of team that we're gonna have to overcome.
I think it did also dampen my spirits that they USA then lost to Spain B side. I was like, maybe
they're tired, you know. Yeah, maybe, the season for them.
Maybe I was in the wind now. I thought it was.
I do want to give you a shout out to a couple of players from that USA England game from the England side.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia Stanway. Showed once again, that she's pivotal to this England side. Kira Walsh as well.
Absolutely.
Always.
Kira Walsh, this year always that thing.
Just always.
And I think as well that Lucy Bronze was really good.
I was going to say, I thought she did well defensively.
Yeah.
I think recently as well, there's been a lot of, she's declining. I'm not saying yes or no to that. Do you know what I mean? I'm hosting today. I feel like in that game, that was very much I can still kick it with the whoever you think is that person, bring them to me, let me see.
I'm around, didn't I?
Yeah, definitely. I'm
around. I think it will help them three in particular, obviously. Georgia's at Bayern, Kieran, Lucia at Barcelona. Yeah. I feel, even with Stanway, I even feel like even her short stint in Germany, she's improved again. Yeah.
She is really good.
Yeah.
She's a hazard on the pitch, but she's really good.
Yeah, and I think... them playing different styles of football, I see the team improving, and I think
diversifying the team.
Like it's a shame, obviously, for the WSL to not have them in our league, but still, that they're playing with really really good players, and you can see, like I think Georgia now, she, like you said, she's a hazard. She's always been a hazard on the pitch, but now it's more restrained. Like if she goes in for a tackle,
other than when she got Fox sent off with concussion.
She's still Georgia. But you know, she looks the part now, and I think she can play in that midfield too alongside Kira, and that apart from obviously she shouldn't have received that pass from Millie Bright, but
we'll give her that.
Yeah, she just looks, you know, I always used to think liability,
she's like
but
more
she's
a complete
there.
Midfielder.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see her tweet about the blender?
Yeah, yeah, she would have. She'd
put her head in the blender if it meant getting a ball. Yeah.
She really is, like, every time I watch her, I'm like, this is so, like, her tenacity is so vital to the team. And I feel like sometimes, yeah, when she doesn't score or assist, like, as a general overview, it's kind of downplayed the role that she's played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even points early on in that match, especially when you can tell that England were very nervous. Like, did you not feel like England were very nervous in the beginning? And Stanway, there were a couple times that she was getting pressed and she'd dribble her way out of it and then she'd progress the ball.
Mm.
That just helped to settle nerves as well, I think. Like, just her being, I'm ready for this game. Like, you look, meet me here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That, to be fair, though, I think two things with England now. One, I can understand why they were nervous. I mean, you're playing the same way we're like, oh my gosh, USA.
Yeah,
they're playing the USA. But I also think there's a pressure now that that they'll have to live with.
Yeah.
We know that the women's team has to be successful for the progression of the grassroots game.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be successful if they're going to drive the recent WSL crowds that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go into every single game knowing they have to perform. Mm-hmm. And it's a pressure now, I think. Now you've won the tournament that they're going to have to deal with, that we expect. We have high standards now, but also they need, in order, like, look at, for example, Ireland just qualifying for the World Cup and what that would do for Irish football. It's once you achieve those levels, like, that's a lot of pressure, which I don't envy, and I think they cope with it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, England, USA. Like, I was outside queuing for the toilets, and a woman, well, she was drunk, but she'd never seen a game before, and she was like, score prediction, and she thought, I thought England would win 10-0. And I was like, And because she's not seen any football.
Yeah.
But in order for her to come back, she needs to be entertained, and she's going to want to see England win games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, sorry to those fans that travel to Brighton.
sorry.
Better luck next time.
Are we going to talk about that? We're going to save that for another point. Should we see next time? England's next fixtures.
We can say a couple of lines on that, to be honest. Yeah, other than the sorry to the fans, but what were your thoughts overall in the game?
I feel like it is. I wouldn't say it's the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's trying to repeat some of the magic of the Euros with the exact same players in the exact same system while some players are out.
Yeah.
Mm. I love Frank Kirby, but...
You know when you start like that? I love this person. But I love that person. Dearly.
I feel like in both games, she didn't have her best.
Yeah.
And also in the Euros, she had moments of magic and we know what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always there.
Mm-hmm.
I think while Hemp did a very good job in both games at trying to play the number nine role, you have a number nine sitting on the bench.
That was just very weird behaviour.
And you're making her fly all the way back from the US as well.
It's actually insane.
I think it's also just, it can get stale very quickly. We've seen that with the England men's team. Mm-hmm. You have to switch it up in a way that is beneficial. Like, even Lauren James, for example, I actually think the USA game was a better game for her and for her attributes.
We were saying
there was space for her in that game.
Yeah, and it was very much isolation ball. This one wasn't isolation ball.
Exactly. Yeah, and it was like one versus one.
Everywhere on the pitch was 1v1.
Whereas Czech Republic is all players sat back.
Yeah.
I thought they played very well, to be fair to them. And it wasn't that they just sat back. They did try.
The quality wasn't there, though.
It was just, I felt like it was a few kind of, I don't want to say lazy, because I don't think it's lazy decisions. I think it's just kind of like nothing too inventive.
Yeah.
Not trying something new. And I think going into the World Cup, unless we have those exact same players that, you know, started every game that they did, other than Ellen White, obviously, then don't try and replicate that exact same team.
Mm-hmm.
where can you switch up? Where can you make it more adaptable? Where can you make it more fresh and exciting? That's and I think that's going to be the challenge for Serena.
Yeah, that's my bit. That was my biggest concern, I think, by the end of the game. I was thinking, if we don't have those that are strongest 11 available, mm-hmm. you're going to ask some players to go into a major tournament and they haven't played in the England system. I feel like I don't understand why she half rotated the team. You know, realistically, I think the high was the US game. And I think some of the players probably, for them, the high was the US game. Mm-hmm. Now we've got to play again.
And they have to think about getting back to domestic leagues.
I just think she should have fully rotated the side. Then we wouldn't have really cared about the result.
She was that unbeaten finger.
Starting
to get gassed off it.
I don't know.
We love you, Serena,
No, we do. Thank you so much for coming.
Honestly, come to United once we're done.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think there are certain players I think that need minutes, and we need to make sure that they can be trusted to play if they are required to play next year in the World Cup. And I just think somebody like Ebony Salmon, like, she just deserved more than like 20 minutes, because, you know, we how have the issue. Okay, Russo is injured. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're playing Lauren Hemp there. She can do a job, but it's not the required quality.
She's so good on the left.
Exactly. So
she hasn't been that great.
So I'm like, why don't you play the number nine that you have in the squad, or call Beth England up so she can also get some minutes in the team?
Yeah. To be honest, in fact, we might have to drop a line or one or two on Beth England, because I think we were saying as well. Yeah, the last time we did a pod was that we were talking about her not being the starting. We didn't know at that point she wasn't even going to get called up.
Yeah.
And I do think, that it's, I get Serena's sentiment on if you're not playing, and I agree with that sentiment. If you're not playing at club level, you should.
She's people that
then
have performed.
But then it just looks a bit suspicious, when there's a couple people in the squads that aren't playing, but they're there. Mm. So it's like, it looks like it's if you're not playing, you're not coming with a pinch of something. Do you know what I mean? There's a pinch of...
Yeah, it depends on the player. Because Demi Stokes, for example, was that the first time that she's even touched the pitch this season?
Yeah.
I'm just a bit... And I think, to be honest, my honest opinion, I think if Beth England wants to play for England regularly, she may have to think about moving away from Chelsea, because she's never going to get...
I might have someone for her, but she might have to wait until the end of the season comes so I can see what happens with other movements, and I might have someone for her.
But she won't get proper minutes until like the back end of the season when Chelsea have to rotate. And I don't know. I look and think. For me, the squad feels too light. If Russo's out, to then be playing our best left winger as your false nine. I don't know. I think I would rather have Serena just rotate the squad, because it just looked really disjointed yesterday, and the game was boring. It wasn't good.
And getting out of the Amex as well. Prayers to everyone.
I'm getting flashbacks from that quarterfinal, like, genuinely, and I even pushed in, and I still found it long. So that is a myth. I think we've summed up England quite well, to be honest. Mm. Were there any other points on England that you feel like we didn't touch on?
I feel like we summed it up quite well. I think obviously we're still riding the high.
Yeah.
But equally, I think in our minds we're thinking, okay, so how are we going to arrive next summer? So I don't know. I just hope they all stay kind of relatively injury free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see what squad she picks in the next international break. But
I think I'll say as well in England, that, you know, sometimes when they're like, oh, winning becomes a habit. It kind of looks that winning, or not losing at least, has become a habit for England. And that is a great place to be.
Yeah.
It's a great place to be when not losing is a habit. And I think for them now, it's more so about like making sure that they put their foot down against better opposition as well.
Yeah.
But also the opposition that do low blocks, and trying to find and work out different formulas, basically.
But I think, and it was the same with England men, actually. I think if you're a team who rarely concedes and rarely loses going into a tournament, you're going to do okay.
Yeah.
And that's the worry of England men right now, going into World Cup. But if you're like, in the Euros, England barely conceded.
Mm-hmm.
We barely, you know, we didn't lose. We didn't look like losing, rarely, like ever.
Yeah.
Other than the Spain one, maybe. And after that, once we equalised, we were just in complete control. Mm-hmm. And if you're a team that does that and you're solid in your foundations, like I was saying against USA, USA are technically a better team, but if you're solid in your foundations mm-hmm. and you have quality, doesn't matter who you come up against, you have a chance. So if we stick with that and we make sure we don't get too many injuries, I think we'll still have a good chance.
Perfect. We're going to move on to our second segment, which is going to be predictions. Everyone likes predictions, man, because when we come back at the end of the season, you either look very silly or you look very smart. So hopefully...
To be fair, on our WSL one... towards the end of last season. I feel like we predicted pretty well. I also think we predicted Euros.
Run the tits back, man. Run the tits back.
No pressure or anything, Lauren.
Yeah, no, don't let it slide down now.
Honestly, we're going to get into predictions. Great stuff, guys. We are into our second bit of...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The show, which is predictions, I've got a list of criteria or like things here, and these two are going to answer basically on what they think. The first thing, this is for the WSL, by the way, guys, just if I didn't make that clear. This is now WSL segment. Okay, sweet. Who is going to be the top goal scorer in the WSL this season, Marva?
I know it's an obvious answer, but I am going to go Sam Kerr because... If Arsenal was starting with the same forward, mm-hmm. I would go with whoever that forward was mm-hmm. for Arsenal. But I just think because they're switching up so much, because Miedema's playing a deeper role, because they've got options as well between mm-hmm. Blaksenius, Hurtig, Ford. I feel like those goals are going to be shared between them. Mm-hmm. And then Kerr's just Kerr. And then Kirby, I'm a bit like, again, playing a little bit more of a deeper role, now being asked to play a bit more in midfield. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bunny Shaw could be up there. Actually, I might change my answer. No. Because as much as, Man City are going through a bit mm-hmm. of trouble, she is their main striker. Mm-hmm. And she's just a force.
Yeah,
I'm going to still say Kerr, but I think...
Honourable shout-outs to
sure.
So you've covered all bases there by naming everyone.
No, I said it won't be one of the Arsenal lot. I said it won't be.
Lauren, who do you think is going to be top goal scorer this year?
You pretty much gave my answer. Nice. I think it will be Kerr. The same reasons. I don't think it will be Miedema because she plays in the 10 now mm-hmm. With Blaksenius ahead of her. And I don't think Blaksenius... not this season, I don't think she'll be clinical enough to be up there for Golden Boot.
Not Drew Spence or Ash Neville, no?
maybe goal of the season. I think Bunny Shaw's up there. I think if Rachel mm-hmm. Daly also continues her form, she may push as an outsider, but Sam Kerr's clutch.
Yeah.
And when that Chelsea side need goals, she gets them. But also when that Chelsea team get going, they start winning games by 7 goals.
Yeah,
so she can stat pad.
Yeah.
Facts. So yeah, I don't see. I think if Miedema was going to play in the nine all season, I think I would say her. But yeah, I'm going to go Sam Kerr.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
I think it's going to be Beth Mead, you know. Something's telling me that it's going to be Beth Mead. I feel like Arsenal are a funny one, because I agree literally with what you're both saying. But sometimes it even feels, yeah, the wingers have a better chance of scoring than them. It's very strange.
It's because I can't, not if, because it's too much going on in the box for teams to defend, yeah.
And then centre-backs usually focus on the strikers. And then that's where Mead starts getting pockets of space.
It's a good shout.
But yeah. I do agree on Sam Kerr though, because when it gets to stat pad season, she will be front and centre. Her and Miedema might be stat pad queens, to be honest. They really know how to put the hammer down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it's because technically they're so good
that
they can shoot from anywhere. Yeah. So
does Miedema's 2 against Spurs count as stat pad?
Yeah, because it always, you know, it gets her season going, because she's like, oh, Spurs, I'll get goals. So, yeah, if she could stop that, that would be nice. But yeah, like, I feel like if she plays in the 10 against Spurs, she'll still get goals regardless, but she may not get as many playing in the 10 against other teams.
I hear that. Second award, let's say, Young Player of the Year. I always have an argument with people about what age should be capped young player at. Yeah. Some people say 23, some people say 21. Yeah. I think the WSL uses 23. So let's use 23.
Is Lauren Hemp still under 23?
I was going to say, don't bring up Lauren Hemp.
Yeah, because I feel like
every time
we're just going to discount her because she gets it every year.
Do you know what? Yeah. Lauren Hemp's included.
We had this exact argument last time.
Under 23, Lauren Hemp's included. If you want to choose her, choose her.
She's not my choice, but I was just asking.
Okay.
I think.
Who's your choice?
My choice, I think, is Lauren James. Purely because I think she'll get the minutes this season. And there aren't many other players in the league that are better to watch than her. And I think as long as she continues to play, her quality stands out. It's hard because I do think it will go to Lauren Hemp, because I think she's more influential in the City side. But if I have to pick one, I'm going Lauren James.
I think Lauren James for sure. Just in how she started, and then also playing for a team that's likely to be champions. I'd like to say Jess Park. But
you can say Jess Park. You can do one more mention.
Or Gio, maybe even Benison. Like that whole.
Okay, just Everton only. Filter every other club.
Most of Everton's team are under 23, but we probably won't do enough to warrant them getting at. I think in terms of actually like contributing to their team, and not only contributing to their team, but their team contributing to like the league and actually winning trophies, then Lauren James, I think, is the best shout.
Okay. My Young Player of the Year, I think it's going to be Lauren James. But yeah, my honourable shout is for Onabatie.
I was going to say Letizia as well.
I even think
Ona should have already won it before. I'll be real, I think the season she came,
I think it's position.
Defenders don't get their flowers. Yeah. But if she keeps up her assist game right now, then they'll have to. You know, she has to do something that makes them take notice, because we're not going to keep enough clean sheets here for a defender to win it. Like in that sense, so she's going to have to be like near the top of the assist board or that sort of thing. But I think in terms of actual quality, she could be up there.
Yeah, I think she'll have to do it in assists, like Lucy Bronze, and maybe it's a chip in with some goals, because I think the year when she won all the awards was playing
but
right back.
It also comes to like what the team does.
Sorry, Moira, but Marva trying to play us down.
That's a big achievement. Like,
how does Marva know we're not getting third?
I didn't say you weren't, but
I'm just saying.
But if you're comparing,
where if she takes us to third?
Her on her own.
Yes, at this moment in time, maybe.
Let's see. If Badia takes you
to play, takes us into
on play. Her own, then fair play. But also, if that happens, but James even gets like 10 goals in a season where Chelsea win the league, then it will go to her.
Yeah, because don't forget the StatPad games.
We know who the streets would have thought should have won.
She'll have the Mancunian streets.
No, honestly, but I would love if Lauren James was to win as well, to be honest, because I've been waiting for, you know, I've been hyping the Lauren James. Obviously, last season was tricky because I was still hyping her, but it was like, was falling on deaf ears. Do you know what I mean?
She didn't get any minutes. They weren't,
and especially for people that hadn't watched her that much before. Mm. I feel like most people have watched their own team extensively and then the rest is kind of scattered.
But she's even shocked me in the sense of, like, I thought she'd come into it and be good in the way that a young player is good.
Nah, she just...
And come in and sort of, you know, do some, like, nice, you know, nice little bits and then be a bit inconsistent, right? Play a few minutes, take you off. But that game against Man City where she stood out, she was like she the player ready, that was then. Dragging their team through... A complete player, strong, physically strong, which not all young players necessarily will have as an attribute. That just already makes you like up there with the older players and the best of the best.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what she does this season.
Yeah, I would like generational talent, and I actually think Emma Hayes and the Chelsea staff have done a great job with making sure, because now she's ready. Last season, I can't lie, I was really annoyed that she wasn't playing, but I get why they've waited. And it almost reminds me of Phil Foden and when everyone was complaining that Pep wasn't playing him enough. But actually letting a young player just find their feet and get ready, we're now seeing the fruits of that patience, I think, that Emma Hayes has had with her.
Emma Hayes has said as well, like, the level that Chelsea train at is different. She's like, we're not like you other lot. She's like, if you come here, it's a different level, and it takes a while for players to get up to speed with even just the levels of training there and the levels of tactics there.
Because even at United, when she'd have good, because Lauren James has been good. Do you know what I mean? I'm even thinking of
she scored that worldie against Chelsea. Like,
and it was not like I said she's leaving at the end of the season. So then honestly, we're not making it.
That's what Emma Hayes does. That's enough of that.
That's enough. Stop that there. Like, as soon as she scored that, I said, yeah, that's it, unfortunately.
Like, but don't score that in front of Emma
Hayes. Honestly, like, in fact, if I think of every single big game we've played in, she's always been one of our best. She's like, she always looks the most ready every time we play a big team in the past. I'm thinking even Arsenal, she came off the bench and she looked ready. Like, but yeah, I think this season it's gonna be her second breakout season. I think she's had a breakout season already, but like this will be her
this is the one where more people are watching now.
She's just unbelievable. She just offers something that I don't think any other English winger can, because she can play in tight spaces and she can dribble and she can't be pushed off the ball. Like, if they could just give me a player cam, I would watch it.
Do you know she's so good to watch. The only time she rolls, she's ridiculous. Third award, Player of the Year, Marva. Who's going to be Player of the Year for you?
It's hard to say because I think it's so going to depend on who wins the league. I think for me, it will be between Miedema, Mead, and possibly Kirby in terms of, I mean, to be fair, I'm just basing that on how they've started. We know what Kerr can do and come into it. Again, that isn't who I would say would be my player of the year, because like, I think people like Cuthbert and players like that should get more recognition for what they do for
right backs
and stuff. Yeah, should get more recognition. But it realistically will come down to who's assisting and scoring. But then that's where kind of overall play comes into it a little bit more. Where so maybe Miedema will get that, but. It's going to, for me, it's going to depend on those two teams and who comes out winning.
Lauren?
I'm going to say Beth Mead, regardless of whether Arsenal win the league or not. English tax. And she's up for how many awards already?
She's a star girl right now. Yeah. She's a star girl of the league right now.
Exactly. And what is she on? Three goals?
Might be one of those
assist?
Where she gets it and everyone's like, oh, come on. She hasn't been good since the Euros.
But like, her this 12 months, like, she started the season so well, then it was Can she be Hegel consistent?
Ever since Hegel Riza didn't choose her for that Olympics, yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah, then she did it for the whole season. Yeah, exactly. Then honestly, she did her revenge tour.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh, now she must be tired. No, look how she started the season. Like, I think she's so integral to that Arsenal because she's involved in every play. Whether she's putting the ball in the back of the net or she's getting the assist, she's so integral to the way that Arsenal play. I think even if Chelsea get over the line, I think because she's a superstar now in the league, yeah, I think it will go to her. Unless Sam Kerr wants to score like 3 worldies in clutch games again.
In clutch games.
Yeah.
Because that's her bag, to be honest. The fact that in big games she turns up.
Exactly. But yeah.
Sweet. My player of the year, I think it's going to be Beth Mead. Yeah. Pretty much based off what you got said, to be honest. Surprise of the year, this award. But this is for a team. Yeah.
Oh, team.
This is team surprise of the year, yeah. Mother?
I mean, Villa's obviously a bit of an obvious one.
It could be a good or bad surprise, to be fair.
Oh, okay, interesting. You know what? I'll stick with good for now. I think actually possibly Leicester, in the sense that I think everyone had them to be kind of favourites to go down.
Have they not lost all their games? Still.
Yeah, but...
Let me not speak.
Results don't lie.
All I'm saying is I watched the Everton-Leicester game.
They actually did. I'm not going
to lie. It made me feel better, you know, because we struggled against them.
Yeah, and no, but that's what I thought as well. Although, to be fair, maybe that's more of a sign on Everton and Spurs. Now we struggled against them.
They are difficult to beat, but the problem is that once you've scored, that's when the problem starts for them.
Mm-hmm. So maybe then what I'll do is rather than say them as positive, I'll say negative the other way. I think having watched Reading and Brighton, who are usually two quite stable mid-table teams, they've looked quite poor. So I feel like those three teams will be towards the bottom of the league. But I've just been a bit more surprised that Leicester didn't get battered in those first few games, is all I'm saying.
Lauren, who's your surprise of the year bracket team?
I think a good surprise, like I know it's obvious, but I really wasn't expecting Rachel Daly to have the effect, the impact that she's had on Villa in the way that she has. Because Villa were also down there languishing in relegation, and now they look like a team that will probably they would even push Chelsea and Arsenal because of what how they're pressing from the front. I really wasn't expecting it. Like, obviously I was very shocked when I was like, is Rachel Daly going to Villa? Disappointed as well, because I'm like, we need a striker. I don't know. I think, like, we finished fifth last season and I'm now counting the teams that are getting better, I think, you know, Villa look like fifth. Considering where they were last season, I think I'm shocked that they've looked this good.
My surprise of the year bracket team is Villa as well. I think they've made really good signings, and like, it's signings for purpose that you can, like,
they fit into a system.
Even Kenza Dali, like, she looks like a new player.
And I think because the players they've brought in are better, they're decent players before, or players that we thought were going to be better than they were. So, for example, like last season, I think there was a lot of expectation on some players and they didn't really live up to it. But now that there's better players that they're playing with, they also look a lot better. They look the level we thought they would. Yeah. And that's with all of them. Like, I think Maz Pacheco looks a lot better because she's playing with more ballers. I think, what's her name? Alicia Lehmann looks a lot better right now. And I think Kirsty Hudson was a very good get for them as well, on loan from us. Fifth award, surprise of the year, bracket player. Who is it for you? Good or bad surprise?
I'll say a kind of specific one to Everton, and then I'll say general. Perfect. I think my general one was actually going to be Kenza Dali, just because the sort of signings that Villa made, they're ones that you go, oh, they're kind of like, not obvious signings, but it's like, all right, a kind of big name player in the sense of Daly and Dali. Mm-hmm. But I think Dali's influence in that team already, after not a great season last season, but no one at Everton was cover themselves in glory. Yeah, I think she'll do a lot for that team, which is exciting. But then I think the more specific one for me is possibly Bjorn for Everton. Just because her playing in that defensive midfield role now, I think can really play to her strengths, like her passing strengths. And I think she, might be able to sort of control some games, which is really what Everton have needed. So I'm praying, basically, but we'll see.
Lauren?
I'm going to pick an Everton player, actually. I'm going to say Jess Park. I actually would say any Spurs fan that's watching Conti Cup semi-final last season is not going to be surprised by Jess Park. But I think the way she started, I think it's always been about, we know she's good, but can she do it regularly? And it looks, she looks like a WSL player already. And I think if she continues playing the way that she's playing, she may walk herself into the World Cup squad. And I think, you know, I think the identity of England and the team in itself is about the wingers. It's about Lauren Hemp. It's about Beth Mead. And I think it will, she'll surprise a lot of people to say, actually, we've got another really, really good winger. And I think, her performance to go to Anfield and perform in the way that she did. Like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought it would take her a few games to get going. Yeah. So she's my pick.
Sweet. My surprise of the year, not just about Sofia, but just who I think will be the surprise of the year in general, is Caitlin Ford. And that's not because I didn't think she was good before. I did think she was good. And I feel like she was one of those players that kind of seemed like the team will appreciate her more than fans. Yeah. Like, you know, like, you value her because you play alongside her, but I don't know if she was going to get that recognition before. But I feel like there is actually a starting spot available for her right now. I'm not saying start every game, but to start more than she started last year. And I feel like she brings a different dynamic because her pressing is fantastic, but her link-up is also really good as well.
Oh, that North London
boy. I'm not gonna lie, I was even getting flashbacks myself. I have her, and then if I was gonna choose a United player, I would have chosen Lucia Garcia. Because I did think that we were getting someone with a lot of potential, and she is still, like, she's not a finished product, but like, she looks a lot better on the wing than where Spain played her. Do you
know
what I mean?
I can't lie, when you signed her, I was like, because I saw Germany, Spain in the Euros, and I was like,
I don't think she's a good nine.
She looks a business.
She's rapid, she's strong, she can shoot, she can cross, link up's really good. So
I think even Letizia, actually.
I didn't want to say I'd be cliche, but
just in terms of how quickly she settled at that level.
She's really good.
Really good. And popping up with some goals as well, doesn't it? Isn't bad.
And the final award, the main award, who's going to be winning the WSL this year? Lauren first.
Chelsea. Purely because I think Chelsea can cope without major players in their team better than any team can. I think you can already see Arsenal fans are panicking now with Leah being injured, Rafael a bit. And you look and think, if they were to lose Miedemar, what comes in is just not the same quality. Whereas I think last season, like, Magdalena Eriksson missed a big chunk of the season. Yeah. Pernilla Harder missed a big chunk of the season. Fran missed a big chunk of the season. But when you have players like Guru Wrighton or Millie can still lead your back line, they've now added Camilla Buchanan. I think really and truly that even if Chelsea pick up injuries, they've still got the quality to get the job done. Whereas I think Arsenal's first 11 is absolutely fantastic, but if they can't stick to that 11, I just think Chelsea just have the edge, and they've got Emma Hayes, who's
a winner.
That's why.
Marva,
I think I'm gonna put my neck out.
I think I will be following.
I think I'm gonna say Arsenal.
Yeah, you're gonna say Arsenal.
Yeah, I think Arsenal. You know,
although I would say, depending on how long
those two out for. Especially Rafaela. I think especially...
I think if those two are out for a long time and...
Well, she broke her foot, so she's going to be out for at least nearly 2 months.
But Williamson, we're not too sure on yet, right? Although she did leave in crutches, apparently. I know.
Maybe that's precautionary.
But I think if they can get even one of those back, I just think that they weren't that... The difference between their Chelsea's and Arsenal's squad last season was bigger than it is now.
Yeah.
And it was only 1 point
in it. That's more so my thinking.
And I think Arsenal's attacking depth right now is very, very good. Mm-hmm. And their midfield is very, very good. Although
their
squad
hasn't changed. Apart from adding Hurtig to replace Nikita Paris, but it's the same.
It's the fact that, they've added Hurtig. Ford is playing better. The thing is, the actual players are playing better. And I think that's more so why I was leaning that way as well. Mm-hmm.
And and also I just Chelsea's midfield, like centre mids, I don't know if I trust fully right now.
I think they'll still score goals to get them. That's the thing. If you Sam Kerr, we need 3 goals. Okay, I'll serve 3 goals.
I think it will be tight again. I'd love for it to go to the final day again. I think that adds to the drama.
Absolutely.
We'll see. That is all for this episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. Make sure to follow on socials at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Sweet.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.